Scripture this morning is Acts, the 11th chapter, verses 19 through 26. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them, all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch.
I'm almost afraid to say this, for fear of undoing what already is. But it seems like spring has sprung, which would suggest that winter perhaps is over. And if something untoward weather-wise happens, winter-like in the next few weeks, I suppose you can blame me. But that's what it seems like for now. But I do know this, regardless of what kind of day it is, it's a wonderful day for being together and worshiping the Lord. We're graced by a number of visitors and loved ones and friends, some we haven't seen for some time. So very glad you're with us and a part of this service. And if you're watching online, please know we're glad you're with us too. And when you might have opportunity, please join us in person. We'd be glad to see you. For just a few moments this morning, I'd like for you to consider what would have to be the most important question you will ever answer. Am I a Christian? And whereas it seems like a fairly easy question to answer, you'll have to nip it because of the way the word has been so elasticized. Of late, it's hard to know what one means by the question, what one means by using the word, the term Christian. Interestingly enough, the word Christian just found three times in the Bible, all in the New Testament, of course. The first in the passage we just read a moment ago from Acts chapter 11. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. If we believe the words of John Fox in his Book of Martyrs and the History of the Early Church, this was about 7 years or so after the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost Day. And so from Pentecost going forward about 7 years, you have for the first time the word Christian being used to describe God's people in Christ. And then you go forward from that a few years further, and we find the Apostle Paul speaking before King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. And after saying things that would seem to be touching the heart and the intellect of Agrippa, that king responds by saying, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Which suggests that in the time between Acts chapter 11, some 7 years after the church has begun in chapter 2, and the time when Agrippa says, Christian in the 26th chapter of Acts, that the term has been fairly widely distributed and used by a number of people. And then some years later still, Peter will write in 1 Peter chapter 4, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God on this behalf. And some might be surprised to know that's the extent of how the New Testament uses that word Christian. Just three times. And interestingly enough as well, it's always used as a noun. Whereas today, most often it's used as an adjective. And that's where it comes to mean so much and so little at the same time. We talk about a Christian nation or a Christian school or even a Christian disposition or a Christian retail store. What do we mean by this word Christian? What does the Bible mean by the term Christian? And just as the New Testament uses various terms to describe the collective body of God's people, whether it's a word we think of as church or family or body, so we have various terms describing those within the church, those comprising this body. As we just read from Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians. And so another word for Christian back in New Testament times was this word disciple. Sometimes the word saint is used. Paul describes those in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1 as those saints and called to be such. Sometimes a word is used describing our being citizens of the kingdom or members of the body. But then there is this word Christian. And I say all of that just to make it very clear that we're talking about a definition which is fairly narrow, describing not just anyone who might have an interest in Christ or anyone who in a peripheral way may be connected to Christ, but one who belongs to Christ. A Christian is someone in the church of Christ, in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, who has had sins washed away and has become a new creature, and as such, belongs exclusively to Jesus Christ. Just as Christ said, I will build my church, and owns that church. So the church being made up of members or Christians has Christ owning us as members individually of the church as a whole. And so when we ask the question, am I a Christian? We're asking, am I a member of the Lord's church? Am I among those who have been saved from sin? Am I among those who have been washed clean by the blood of Christ for my iniquities? Am I one who is set for heaven because of God's grace in the sacrifice of Christ? Am I a Christian? And actually, there are two answers to this. There is the technical answer and the practical answer, both of which are important. Technically, to be a Christian, you have to follow certain steps or a certain process from moving from where you have been to where you want to be, from lost to saved, from unsanctified to sanctified, from out of the church to in the church, from set to hell and now set toward heaven. The difference in those two extremes describes that process of becoming a disciple of Christ, a Christian. And the Bible is crystal clear on how one becomes a Christian. You begin in the second chapter of Acts by reading about some 3,000 at one time who hear of their own sin, realize their own predicament, and cry out, what shall we do? And they're told something to do in order to obtain the remission of sins. Before one has remission of sins, he's not a Christian. After one has remission of sins, he's a Christian. And so what takes place between one and the other? Well, one has to to understand, to hear, to come in contact with those facts, that truth which speaks of the process. And so hearing is understood as necessary. But having heard what God has to say about Jesus Christ, about him coming in the flesh, living among us, dying a perfect sacrifice as a sinless man for us, and thus by his sacrifice giving us hope of salvation, we have to believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son and as the Savior that God had in mind. We have to have a faith, a belief in that. Absolutely we do. The Bible tells us without faith it is impossible to please God in Hebrews chapter 11. It always has been, but especially now in Christ it is. Christ himself said in John chapter 8, except you believe that I am he, God's Son, you shall die in your sins. And so yes, belief is absolutely necessary. And some would stop right there and say that's all that's necessary. But no, the Bible says further we must do something beyond just believing. In fact, we referenced a moment ago when those 3,000 who respond to the gospel in Acts chapter 2 first asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're told, as apparently their faith is shown by their question at least, they're encouraged to build on that faith, and they're told to repent and to be baptized for the remission of sins. And so it seems fairly obvious from the way the Bible uses language, the way we understand the Bible's language, that to become a Christian, we have to have heard about Christ, believe what we've heard about who Christ is, what Christ has accomplished for us, and we, based upon that faith, determine to repent. Repentance is born out of a godly sorrow, and it leads to fruits or activities or performance suggesting a change has taken place. But at its core, what repentance is that change of the heart. It's a changed mind, a changed perspective. Now my life's not mine anymore. It's the Lord's. Now I don't live for sin anymore. I live for him. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for them. I make restitution as I'm able, and I move past them, and I don't do them anymore. I resolve not to live that way anymore. I repent. And we can't become Christians unless first, having heard about Christ and believed in him, have made the choice of changing our minds about sin and salvation, what's right and what's wrong, and where we fit in the mix of all of that. I've changed my mind now. I've repented. And of course, the Bible says I have to confess, because how would the one baptizing me know to baptize me if they don't know what I believe? And how do they know what I believe unless I've confessed it? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Paul tells us. And then, yes, the Bible does teach that having heard about Christ, believed in him, repented of sins, and confessed our faith in Christ, we submit to baptism. Not because some preacher said it, but because the Bible teaches it. Because Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Because Peter on Pentecost said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And thus, having believed what you've heard about Christ, determining to turn away from your sins and repent, confessing your faith, you then submit to baptism, there to have not the water do anything, but the blood of Christ do something. To have there his blood wash you clean as you obey the Lord in doing what he said do. Be baptized for the remission of sins. Technically speaking, that's how one becomes a Christian. And if you're here this morning and you're wondering, well, am I a Christian? Well, have you gone through this process? It's not just a made-up process. These putting the entire New Testament together, and especially the wonderful 28 chapters of the book of Acts, we see this is the way people in New Testament times became disciples, became Christians, came into the church, enjoyed the new birth. This is the way. And so if I ask myself the question, am I a Christian? Well, technically speaking, have I done these things? Have I followed that process? Have I been a part of that plan of salvation? But then there is a secondary definition that's less technical and more practical. Because the word Christian describes somebody who belongs to Christ and lives their life for Christ, who's changed their life based upon the name they're wearing. Americans are expected to live up to the values of America. But more so, much more sublimely so, Christians are supposed to live up to the name they wear, the name of Christ. And time again, the New Testament encourages us, as Jesus himself did while in the flesh, that we should pattern our lives after his. The words of Jesus, "This I have done, that you should do as I have done to you." John chapter 13. "Come after me and learn of me. If any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me." Jesus expects us to follow the example he sets for us. And the New Testament continues the idea. After Pentecost, when those Christians of the early New Testament era were encouraged to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2 and verse 5. Encouraged to walk in his footsteps, 1 Peter chapter 2. We are encouraged to be like the one whose name we wear. And this isn't a matter of either or, either technically or practically. To be a real, genuine, faithful Christian, you have to follow the process of becoming a Christian and then live up to the name you're wearing. And so when I ask all of us to ask ourselves the question, am I a Christian? That's what I mean. Have I become a Christian in obeying the gospel? And am I living like a Christian by the choices I make day by day to follow his example? And that question is one that we have to answer for ourselves, based upon what the Bible teaches and what God himself knows. And so as we bring this lesson to a close, I ask you again, are you a Christian? Well, if not, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, haven't followed the process of becoming a disciple of our Lord, what better time than now to make that choice and do what you know you should? Become a Christian. But then if you have done that, ask yourself, am I living up to? Am I doing my best to follow his example? Am I really a practical Christian in the way I choose to live my life? My friend, this morning, if you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.